At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number 3, welcome to it on this Wednesday, live right here on the Early Line. Our third and final to get you set for another day over in Paris at the 33rd Olympiad and the Summer Games. A huge day for USA basketball taking on South Sudan. On paper, it should be an easy victory. It was anything but that, of course, in the exhibition series in London leading up to the Paris Olympics. Our MLB insider, Craig Mish, is here on this Wednesday as well to look back at deadline day around Major League Baseball. And speaking of the deadline, DRS, we wanted to hear from the people to get this started. A big third and final hour here on the Early Line.
But the Stinger's not coming up now? I mean, come on now. Where's the Stinger at? You know what I mean? Stinger gets posted up in the background. I think we're ready to ask the public on what their fade the public opinions. But apparently, we're coming to me directly at this point. Yeah, I'm ready right now. Tax season is here, Ben. No. Tax season is in April. Tax season is now in Major League Baseball because you have defined winners and losers, and the price of the brick is going up on those favorites throughout the rest of the summer. So get ready for it. So how about that? Now, where's the public at? Where are they at?
Normally, DRS, I utter the words FTP and what that means, so we're not confusing anything.
They put the graphic up there that it was ready to go.
How do you even see it? Your monitor's off to your right. Your periphery not normally that good.
Straight. No, I have a monitor here, and also I have two monitors that I watch at the different times. One's a little bit bigger than the other one. So there you go. Yeah.
One of these days, I would like a behind-the-scenes look at Donnie Wrightside's home studio. You should do like a day-in-the-life TikTok video. With the odds.
Like when I want to actually watch something on the screen, it's this way. But right behind my camera, I do have a tablet that has the identical screen on the other side, so I can see different ways that I can look at the screen itself. So I did see it coming up there in that.
Do you want to lead us to the poll? Do you want to do the honors now?
No, because I don't believe in stingers. So, you know what I mean? When I host the show, we don't do stingers around these parts. So there, I don't even know how to bring it in. I have no idea how it goes.
Take it.
All right, people, here we go.
Oh, my God, what are you guys doing?
Okay, how about this? We have a stinger coming up, fading the public here. Let's find out who the public wants to fade. Brilliance.
Oh, you want me now to go to the poll? All right, I'll do that here. Yeah, exactly. I hope it's not your first day watching the Early Line. Which league has the best trade deadline? At Sports Grid on Twitter, MLB, NBA, NFL, and HL. It's got to be Major League Baseball. Most of the public saying it is MLB, 45.5. The NBA coming in second, though, nearly 28% of the votes. What got the vote of one, Donnie Wrightside?
It was Major League Baseball, and it is by far. So many more players get traded, so many opportunities to make those trades. Now, granted, you did have a little bit more excitement in these trade deadline deals when there was a lot more. There you go.
That was pretty good.
In the middle of it. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Major League Baseball. You know, Major League Baseball by far. And by the way, shout out the NFL at 11.8%. A couple of years ago, we didn't get a single trade ever at the NFL trade deadline. So at least they participate now and can actually be in this poll at this point, even though if they are bringing up the rear. We all enjoy just about every single deadline, but Major League Baseball used to have the most juice, still has the most trades going down, but let's just see how influential those trades will be moving forward now with most teams still technically in it by the time we even get to the trade deadline.
The NHL has a ton of action around the trade deadline. The NBA does, but it's almost a little bit overhyped. Free agency is really the drama when that starts in the summer months for the association. The NFL used to be dormant, and now all of a sudden has become a little bit more active, but nothing compares to Major League Baseball. There are moves in the days, in the week, leading up to deadline day, and then on deadline day, you get a flurry of moves as well. It has changed a little bit, though, Donnie, no doubt about it, with the expanded postseason in Major League Baseball. Now that we have six teams and three wild card teams in either league, there are plenty of more teams that consider themselves a contender. Hey, if they can earn one of those wild card spots, they can play for a World Series. They can win a pennant, as we saw, of course, a year ago, two wild card teams facing off with a World Series at stake, the Rangers and the Diamondbacks, and Texas getting the better of Arizona. It keeps more teams active in the hunt for a playoff spot, which makes for better baseball down the home stretch of a long 162 in MLB. But of course, it makes for it a little less active, I guess you could say, at the trade deadline.
And sometimes we get disappointed, too. Like, Major League Baseball had a lot of players going, but we didn't have that, you know, balance of power and the shift of power from a couple superstar players going to a certain team or from a certain league to another league. We didn't get that yesterday. It was still exciting overall, but Jack Flaherty is the biggest move, not really going to move the needle. Let's just say even like an injured Mike Trout was on the move. That certainly would have moved the needle a little bit and got the energy going. But I do think if we're looking at true star power, like, it seems like the NBA typically at the deadline, superstars are on the move at that point. And the NFL now, obviously with the popularity of the league, it's nice to see them also getting involved where you can make a deal for a defensive end, for a cornerback, or heck, even a quarterback at that point to make the move. When we were talking about the NFL for years and years and years never making a single move on deadline day. So welcome them into the party. And the NHL does participate as well and does have some decent players on the move. But we always get excited at deadline time. Whether it's your favorite team or not, the superstars on the move are always much more fun to talk about.
And we've seen some crazy moves in recent years, right? Most notably, probably most recently, Max Scherzer and Trey Turner going to L.A. to help them win a World Series. Last year, it was Scherzer and Verlander traded away from the New York Mets back to a couple of teams in Texas. Verlander back to the Astros. Scherzer now in Texas. Jack Flaherty might not be of that esteem, but an important move, of course, for the L.A. Dodgers. We'll talk about it next with Craig Mish, his assessment on the trade deadline in Major League Baseball. And once again, let's look at those World Series odds. We put a pin in it before the deadline. Again, let's notice it here at the end of July. Two more months of the regular season before October coincides with playoff baseball in MLB. The Dodgers, the favorites, as they have been all year long, to win a World Series. A slightly shorter number after yesterday, plus 320 before the deadline, now a 3-1 price. The Phillies at 5-1. They move back not because of a lack of moves at the deadline, but because they just haven't been playing great baseball. They've dropped 8 of 11 since the All-Star break, a 5-1 number, and the Yankees round out the top three at plus 550.
And the one thing that hasn't changed primarily for the, you know, the parts of the spring and now obviously deep into the summer, Dodgers, Phillies, Yankees, Orioles, they are the best four teams in baseball. Some playing better than others right now. We understand that. But when it's all said and done, when you are headed to the end of September into October, jockeying for position, those still will be the four teams that will be the tops. 3-1, 5-1, plus 550, 6-1. Then you have the fall up to the Atlanta Braves at 12-1, the Astros at 13-1. Now, granted, other teams will get hot. Upsets will happen in the playoffs, as we watched for the past couple years, but best regular season teams with the most excitement into the playoffs, it's by far those top four teams at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now.
All at a 6-1 price, separated by just $3 in those four best numbers to win a World Series. Donnie, when all is said and done, come early November and a World Series champion is crowned, will it be one of those top four teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook?
I do believe that, because when you're looking at 1-2 punches for pitchers, the Dodgers have it, the Phillies will have it, the Yankees hope they have it there, and I think the Orioles now could have that as well. I just think pitching wins in the playoffs, and also some of these teams, including the Philadelphia Phillies and the Baltimore Orioles, solid bullpens all the way through. Yankees have a good bullpen, and you know the Dodgers also. That's what wins here. Give me a solid 1-2 punch, give me a solid bullpen, and we know those four teams, yeah, they got hitters for days.
And it's just a fascinating case study, because the last few years in the expanded postseason, we have seen chaos. The teams that were expected to win a pennant, booked as a favorite all year, 100-plus wins in the regular season, have their postseason cut short because it's a different time in October. We'll talk with our MLB insider, Craig Mish, up next, following deadline day in MLB, here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The day after the MLB trade deadline, we need our Major League Baseball Insider Live right here on this Wednesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Craig Mish is going to be here in just a matter of moments, the host of Newswire. That starts at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Donnie, I'm not sure if you've seen the rundown, at least for this segment that is called The Daily Bases with Craig, but I'm excited at the order of the questions that we have. It starts with Jack Flaherty, and by the time we get to second base, which is your question, it's about all of the moves the Marlins made at the trade deadline. I know you are dying to ask Craig that question.
I absolutely am. Also dying to see if we have, like, you know, usually we're all fine-dressed gentlemen here on the screen, so we're going to see what Craig has.
No.
I mean, looks like the guy might have been up all night. We never know. That's why he's late.
Listen, we got to give him a pass.
Look at that.
Give him a pass.
He's been working all night.
Guys. Crazy day. I think I would say in the history of me doing any sort of reporting like this, I've never been more active. And by the way, it's like still happening this morning. Like my phone is like nonstop. Like what happened and this and that. So sorry for that. Last second here jumping on with you guys.
It is okay, Craig. We will give you the benefit of the doubt. But all day yesterday, we were just hoping for that text or the phone call on deadline day. I actually think we'll get it during this segment. Mike Cardano is going to be calling you saying, where the F is that jacket? Anyway, as we look back at deadline day around Major League Baseball, we touch them all with Craig Mish. It's Daily Bases. All right. Nothing today. So let's go with the big move of yesterday, Craig, before we get to your assessment of what the Marlins decided to do in the final few days ahead of the deadline. The Dodgers acquiring Jack Flaherty from Detroit. Jack Flaherty, the L.A. native, a 7-5 record this year, a 2.95 ERA. He has allowed just 10 earned runs in his last 9 starts for the Tigers. Now he goes to Los Angeles to solidify a starting staff that, frankly, needs a little bit of help right now in LA. What impact do you expect Flaherty to make for the Dodgers?
He's putting together one of his best seasons. This reminds me of his first two seasons with the Cardinals. I think the Dodgers really understood that regardless of how healthy they think their rotation is, it's never enough going into the postseason. I think Flaherty, if Yamamoto is healthy and if Kershaw is healthy, that's 1-2. Glasnow is 3. Like, I mean, Flaherty sort of profiles to me as a 3 or 4 in a 7-game postseason. I know that's what the Dodgers are hoping. What he will be next year still remains to be seen. Remember, he's on a 1-year deal, so this is a rental for the Dodgers. But they needed it to happen. They've had too many injuries, and you never know. I mean, let's just be honest. Clayton Kershaw, has been phenomenal. He's a first-ballot Hall of Famer over the course of his career, but that could end in a second. So they had to do this, I think. You can't be using openers in a 7-game series to win the NL pennant or the World Series. That's not going to work.
Craig, taking a look at Loan Depot Park. A lot of refinancing going on with those Marlins yesterday. Tanner Scott, Jazz Chisholm, Trevor Rogers, Josh Bell, Ryan De La Cruz, AJ Puck. You even tweeted it. You might have to grab a glove and go out and play for the Marlins. What were the Marlins doing yesterday, and what does this mean for the future of the Marlins?
Yeah, this was the craziest day. Like, it just, I did not anticipate being on my phone from the time I saw you guys all the way through just after 6 p.m. Eastern. I mean, it was literally that crazy. I did not stop. I did not eat. Nothing. Like, that's all I did. And I didn't think that that was going to happen. I thought they'd make a few trades. So what the Marlins did is basically say, hey, look, we're going to redo this whole thing. And we're going to do it now. They kind of went into the season this past year thinking, all right, well, maybe let's bring some of it back to see if we still can be competitive. And they found out very early on they were not. So I was not surprised that they made this many trades. I just was surprised that they happened so frequently. And honestly, how does an organization, make so many trades in such a short period of time? I think you got to give them credit for being able to do that. The one trade I think that stands out more than the others, guys, I'll do this quick, is they traded Trevor Rogers, pitcher, to the Orioles. And I think he's going to help the Orioles maybe by, stepping in, being their third starter, fourth starter. Again, similar Flaherty in that rotation. They need an extra guy. But Miami got two really good bats back, and the Orioles have been able to develop hitting. So I think Miami's going to be really excited about getting Norby and Stowers back in return. The industry really loves that trade.
Of course, we have seen Jazz Chisholm make an immediate impact for the New York Yankees. Two consecutive two-home run games to start off this week in Philadelphia. Craig, it's not always about the teams that sell or buy, but those that just stayed put at the deadline. Of this list of six players that were not dealt yesterday on deadline day, who were you most surprised to see stay with their ball club?
It's the bottom one. It's Yandy Diaz with Tampa Bay. I mean, the Rays made so many trades, very similar to the Marlins. I'm surprised that Yandy stuck with Tampa Bay. The rest, not so much. I mean, Crochet could be an off-season piece, could be moved in the future. No need to move him. No need to move Skubal. I guess Rengifo, I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, we still are going to hit that under on their season win total. Would have been good to see him go too, I guess, right, Ben? But I don't think that will factor in on the season. So not huge surprises there for me, honestly, on any of them.
Yesterday was a day that a lot of teams made some moves to improve those teams, some teams looking towards the future. And then there's panic in the streets here in the Philadelphia area. Cortez Sanchez today. The Phillies can't get out of their own way. They're favorites today. Is it a sweep by the Yanks today, or the Phillies finally get up off the mat?
The Yankees are getting this nice little injection here from Jazz Chisholm Jr. And look, they may win today. I want to speak on this real quick since we're going to talk about this game.
Please.
Is that, and this is nothing against Jazz or anything else, but what do you guys expect? Like, anytime a player gets traded to a new team, they get this new feeling of life and they're into a postseason race. Like, I get it. Jazz is playing great. Guess who else is playing great? Tommy Pham hit a grand slam for the Cardinals yesterday. This is not a surprise at all. Put a player in a new environment. They want to impress. Eventually, this will come back to earth a little bit. Jazz, he could be supremely awesome for them. But at the same time, I'd like to see this play out a little bit more. We're getting a little too crazy here.
Listen, the new guy in Philadelphia yesterday, Austin Hayes, coming over from Baltimore, had four RBIs to lead the Phils. All right, DRS, here you go. Sources, and your source being Craig Mish. Breaking news. Craig Mish says Jazz Chisholm Jr. is not going to hit 400 throughout the remainder of this year with the New York Yankees. So, more on the early lineup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Wednesday Paris primer, today's Olympic preview, live right here on the early line. Of course, a ton of focus on Olympic basketball. Group C, the second games of group play, both happening today. It's Serbia and Puerto Rico, and of course, Team USA and South Sudan. Game number four of a five-game exhibition series. The Americans, something like a 40-point favorite against South Sudan, and got their best test of the entire exhibition tune-up set. 101-100, Team USA surviving what would have been a monumental upset in international men's basketball history by the South Sudanese, who had multiple chances in the closing 10 seconds to pull off the outright upset. So because of that result, and because of maybe not taking South Sudan lightly, The line has worked a ton in favor of South Sudan. It was 31.5 just about 24 hours ago. Now 28 and a hook on the FanDuel Sportsbook in favor of the United States. Obviously, still a very, very lofty spread with an over-under of 191 and a hook. Donnie, what do you expect out of the Americans now that it's the real deal against South Sudan?
Dominating effort. Sometimes you get caught by surprise in those friendly games here where, quite frankly, the Team USA almost lost and probably should have lost that game. But the 14 three-point shots made by South Sudan, if that number is cut in half, I think Team USA walks away with an easy victory, and that's what I'm expecting today. And also, the odds makers are expecting it. Somewhere around 30 points here. We shouldn't have any problems with a large lead to start this game off and coast, and that's the way I think it plays out.
Listen, I think Carlin Gay was spot on in his assessment of how this game plays out. If the Americans are going to be better, the great equalizer, of course, the three-point shot, and the South Sudanese shot it like crazy in the exhibition match in London. You would expect just a little bit of negative regression. But this is not a team you can just look over. South Sudan hammered Puerto Rico in their opener, winning 90-79. Carlick Jones is going to do a ton for his nation today. But I would expect an amplified effort, perhaps, defensively for the United States today. I like the under, like Carlin mentioned, of 191 and a hook. How about some props? LeBron James doing everything. I think 5.5 rebounds over 6.5 assists over a great area to look for the King. And Kevin Durant, DRS, after the perfect opening half and a game-high 23 points in the opener for the United States against Serbia, his points prop today, 14 and a hook.
Yeah, just taking a look at some of those other guys here that are listed here, the score like 10 points, 15, 20 points. Sometimes we want to take that advantage where if we do think it's a blowout, they still got to play all the way through in a 40-minute game. But is LeBron James going to be out there really grinding away late third quarter, early fourth quarter, or some of those bench guys, which I do think it's fascinating with Jason Tatum? Is this one of those games where they let him get his minutes? And I don't mean like those grinded out first quarter, second quarter minutes. He's going to be in the rotation. They said as much and probably just trying to make right a wrong where he didn't get in. It was quite embarrassing. Let him play. So is this one of those games where maybe he gets a little bit more of the focus late third quarter into the fourth quarter? You see him to score 10 plus points at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a plus 120 price. Those are always the interesting storylines I look for outside of just the X's and O's, Ben, itself.
Yeah. I love it, DRS. I love what the FanDuel Sportsbook did today. It's a featured player prop category. If you were to go into the normal component of the player points in the game for those more wagers, you would not find a Tatum points prop. He's got his own spot because of what the situation and the conversation was following the United States opener. We've only seen two games so far in the Paris Olympics in men's basketball that have been decided by 20-plus points. Germany beat Japan 97-77 in both of those nations' first games, and the Americans hammering the Serbians 110-84. Other huge events today. Team USA in its final action in group play in the women's soccer tournament. Only a minus 190 match money line favorite against Australia, who got roped by Germany 3-0 in the opener and then was tested by Zambia 6-5 for the Aussies. They had the best price to win the silver medal before this got started. Not so much. I think the United States wins big, and Kaylee Ledecky will show off her dominance today in the 1500 meter freestyle final. She won her heat by almost 18 seconds. She's minus 6,000 is Ledecky to win the 1500 meter freestyle final. It's probably a discounted price, Donnie.
Probably is. But by the way, freestyles, I mean, you could do whatever you want, whenever you want in the pool. Now, there are rules here. You got to go one trip up, backstroke, one trip up, you know, regular. Like, what's the freestyle actually mean here? You don't
Could
even
you
know,
read
do you?
Greg's email about how we need to emphasize Olympic coverage?
We're educating
Those
the people.
Those dumb questions
We're educating
can't happen. Freestyle
That's
is just
a
norm or swim. Everybody knows it.
That ain't
a memory
freestyle,
is
man.
An IM. We got to talk more Olympics next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
just so we can make it not seem like we are total imbeciles when it comes to some of the Olympic events that we don't know all that well. Freestyle is the normal type of swimming that everybody does in the pool. Nobody's butterflying. Nobody's doing a backstroke. Nobody's breaststroking.
Combination
freestyle is the normal one. No, that's the
combination of both.
That's the individual
backstroke. No.
This
I'm
guy
talking
can't
at the
host
same
for the
time.
Next week.
Backstroke and also a forward stroke, same time. Like you make the arms go like opposite, like this. Look at that. Woohoo! How about that? Yep. That's freestyling, man.
Look, do that
look,
again.
I'm telling you right now.
Do that
look,
again.
Like you got one going this. Like I don't know if my brain can make it actually like go the opposite way like that.
No, you
so
can't
it
do it at the same time.
I'm just running.
Oh, am I doing
I'm just
it?
Running at this point. Yeah. No, we're just running. Man.
Yeah. Ear pocket. Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
Wow.
That's how you do it, man.
This has been a fun show.
Oh, by the
today.
Way, it's been a fun really, show. Though, freestyle, though. Okay. Hey, Ben, go freestyle right there. Like, all right, man, the field's mine, the TV's mine. Let me just hit any topic I want. Yeah, see that? See? That's freestyling. You just don't know
Donnie
what you're going to do.
Has spit some beats.
I have.
No, I mean, it would be an interesting time. Katie Ledecky, though, the most dominant women's swimmer in the history of Olympic swimming is going to absolutely hammer the field. Minus 6,000 is a discount. If that's not enough, in the 800-meter final, she's minus 400 to win gold there. Ariane Titmus, the Australian who beat her in the 400-meter, which is not Ledecky's best event, has the second-best price. I bet Ledecky at minus 400 for the 800-meter freestyle final that is in a couple of days, of course, in Paris. I think you're getting a discounted price. But speaking of the Australians, the 100-meter freestyle final today in swimming as well, where Molly O'Callaghan is a minus 155 favorite. Donnie, I was watching the semifinal heats yesterday. Two Americans in the field, Tori Husk, Gretchen Walsh, Kevin's cousin, they battled it out for the butterfly final a couple of days ago. Molly O'Callaghan at the turn, so halfway through the 100 meters, 50 meters, one length of the pool, was in sixth out of eight competitors in the race and came back to win. Her closing speed is unreal. We made this joke. It would be so much fun to live bet the 100 meter, like 45 meters into it as they are about to turn and hit the wall. She is going to close and probably win. I think 155, not a bad price for your Olympic best bets of today.
Let me ask you a question, too, on swimming, because I watched a couple of yesterday. It is interesting, and I like the technology that they use. Very easy to watch who's in the lead and who can actually finish the race. And one, two, three, right off the bat, we don't have to wait. Up one length of the pool is 25 meters. Is that correct? 50 meters is up and back? 50 is one length of the pool.
50 is one length. Yeah.
So you just go one way up, not back. That's 50. Is there just a sprint? Like, is there an Olympic one where it's just one way up the pool, like five, seven, 8 seconds, whatever it would take? Oh, that's it. When is that going off? I need that.
50-meter for Caleb Dressel, the American, plus 230, second-best price behind Cam McAvoy of Australia, a minus 105 favorite. And then Sarah Soström out of Sweden, minus 290, still holds the world record in the 50-meter. I think she's 30, and they were talking about her veteran presence at the age of 30. She's still the hefty favorite. That's awesome. That's just a fury of a sprint as soon as you leap off the blocks and go. Yeah, it's sick.
Yeah, that's sick.
I think that's in a couple of days.
Good.
Yeah, you will. I know that you will. A couple of days. This weekend at La Defense is what they call it. I don't really know exactly. Nadal Caraz, by the way, in the quarterfinals of the doubles. Donnie will be tuning in to some doubles tennis for the Spaniards.
I mean, come on now with this nonsense. You can't win it in the singles, man. You can't be going doubles out here. Stop the madness at this point. I thought this guy was retired here. Come on.
Yeah, well, so did us. All right, anyway, let's go to Major League Baseball now for some baseball breakdowns. Will it be a sweep in Philly, or will the Phils, as Donnie said, get off the mat finally here in this midweek set against the Yankees? 9.5 the total. The line working against Philadelphia. Those are the overnight and early morning numbers, minus 136. Now just minus 122. Donnie, will Philly avoid the sweep, or will the Yankees take all three against the Phils in the city of brotherly love this week?
Yeah, we had Mark on earlier, and really the key to this game is the Yankees really do not hit left-handed pitching all that well. First three guys in the lineup anticipated today, they hit well. The rest of the guys, they are terrible against left-handed pitching, which Christopher Sanchez is a very good left-handed pitcher. Conversely, on the opposite side, Nestor Cortez is going to take the mound here. He struggled. Look at it. Last 71 batters, which are right-handers, which he's going to get primarily in this lineup, obviously. A 403 ISO, a weighted on base percentage of 483 through those 71 batters. Like, the right-handed batters should have a great advantage. But let's just take a look at lefty and righty batters, how they're handling from the Phillies' perspective up against left-handed pitching over the past 30 days. 610 weighted on base percentage for Schwarber, Hayes 342, Harper 372, Bohm 450, Castellanos 474, Weston Wilson 508, Garrett Stubbs 377. The Phillies should win this game, but then again, the Phillies should have won the first two games they've had the advantage. Sometimes you just have to ride the momentum. I do think the Phillies win, but I thought they would win the past two games. Who knows at this point?
Well,
the Yanks just are playing good baseball in Philadelphia in hitting weather, and we'll see. We'll find out soon.
They've been able to rally. We have seen two very high-scoring games between the Yankees and the Phils. Total of 9.5. Donnie mentioned it. It's hot. It's humid here in the Northeast. The wind is blowing out at the bank. Ball should be flying. The Phils lost their final set before the All-Star break against the A's. They have lost their last three sets now following the break. Now make it four. They're hoping to not be swept here by the Yankees. That's five losing series in a row for Philadelphia. They're just 3-8 since the All-Star break. Now we go to Milwaukee. Rubber match today between the Brewers and the Braves. A ton of day baseball, by the way. Full 15-game slate around the bigs. 9 in afternoon hours. It's Milwaukee and Atlanta. Freddie Peralta gets the start for the Brewers. Chris Sale, the National League Cy Young favorite now on the other side for Atlanta. Minus 118. Total up by a hook, Donnie, but still a low number of 7.5.
Yeah, it does look like a cheap line here from a Chris Sale perspective, because if we just take a look at the batters here on Atlanta, typically we don't like them all that much on a day-to-day basis. But Freddie Peralta struggling over the past 93 batters he's faced, a 198 ISO, which is slightly elevated, and a weighted on base percentage of 361, which is elevated. Take a look at some of these ISO power numbers now for the Atlanta Braves over the past month against right-handed pitching. Riley, 301. Ozuna, 321. Soler, 177. Darnold, 184. Rosario, 182. Merrifield, who's going to line up at 284. We'll see if that plays out. And Arcia, not too bad at 164. I think the better lineup and the better pitcher, both coming from the Atlanta side today, even though they're a heavy public favorite with Sale on the mound, Sale in that Cy Young award-winning market needs a good effort today. I think Atlanta gets the job done again against the Milwaukee Brewers.
When you look at the National League Cy Young race as of this moment, Chris Sale minus 110. Paul Skenes continues to climb up the board, plus 170. Zach Wheeler, after the bad performance against the Yankees to start off this week, plus 370. Yesterday, San Diego rallied in the ninth against Blake Treinen and walked it off in extras. In the opener against the Dodgers in this California clash in the midweek set, San Diego playing great baseball. They make the move for Tanner Scott to bolster the back end of the bullpen. The Padres have won 8 of their last 9. The Dodgers still 7-4 since the All-Star break. A good matchup during prime time tonight in San Diego. DRS, you said earlier in the show you thought San Diego would take both of the first two games against the Dodgers. A home favorite today. Clayton Kershaw gets the start for LA. Dylan Cease makes his first start since throwing a no-hitter last week.
Slight favorite, and they deserve to be here, Ben. Clayton Kershaw on the mound, coming back, still trying to work his way into that rotation. Doesn't have great statistics yet, but again, still early technically in his season. If we're looking from a San Diego spot here, the first four batters in that lineup have actually done very well against left-handed pitching in limited at-bats over the past 30 days. Profar, Solano, Bogarts, and Machado would be keys to my victory here for the San Diego Padres. But if you flip it to the other side, Cease has been great here. Take a look at 518 batters on the season, a 150 ISO and a 264 weighted on base percentage. Until we get that full go lineup for the Los Angeles Dodgers, I'm going to take the Padres today. Let's stay hot, Padres. At cheap price at home, I think they can W.
We'll talk underdog numbers and plus money on the money line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A couple of clubs that are underdogs today on this Wednesday in Major League Baseball that are rarely booked as an underdog. The Yankees in their series finale in Philadelphia looking to sweep the Phils. The Yanks have been an underdog in each of the first two games of this set. They've won outright. The Yankees by far, Donnie. the best underdog team straight up in Major League Baseball. 16-6, but only 22 times. The Dodgers have been booked as a dog the least amount of times around the major leagues this season, just 12. But the Dodgers bad, 4-8 when booked as an underdog. They're an underdog today in San Diego, as we shared, against Dylan Cease and the Red Hot Padres. Elsewhere in some afternoon baseball in the bigs, we go to Citi Field, where maybe over the last 2 months, the hottest team has remained the New York Mets. They've won 7 of their last 9 games, 17-9 in this month of July on its final day. And a very slight, almost pick'em price, but an underdog for New York at home against Pablo Lopez and the Twins.
And by the way, you're just looking at better pitchers on the mound today. It's going to be Pablo Lopez. You take a look at his last 60 days on the card today. He actually has a 77 xFIP minus and a 3.21 xFIP number. That is fantastic. Now, granted, you saw the way the Mets have won. High-scoring game, low-scoring game, still picking up wins here and carrying that momentum over. That could be key. But even just in the past 30 days for Pablo Lopez, if we look at his walk rate, it's below 5%. Strikeout rate, above 25%. ISO power number, 099. Weighted on-base percentage, 279 if we combine lefty and righty batters. If we flip it over to Minnesota, I told you yesterday, what's the Achilles heel right now that they just can't hit? That's left-handed pitching. Luis Severino's on the mound today. That's a right-handed pitcher. He hasn't been all that bad, but if I'm looking for a bounce back spot where Minnesota can win a game on the road against a very good Mets team right now, it would be today. I give the lean towards the Minnesota Twins, better pitcher on the mound and not a left-hander that they're facing from their 1-9 perspective.
Yeah, I like that look today for the Twins to try to avoid the sweep against the New York Mets. Now we go to Houston, where the Astros are a minus 215 favorite against the Pirates. All right, that checks out. Framber Valdez gets the start for the Stros. But in fact, it's the Buccos looking for the sweep in H-Town. Will that greater than $2 money line price prove to be correct today in Houston?
It will. Framber Valdez having a very good season. Obviously, the last 30 days, 98 batters he's faced. Ben, how about an 0.56 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 283 and a K rate at about 30%. You take a look at the lineup today for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and we see this quite a bit. How does this lineup fare against left-handed pitching? Not all that well. You take a look at, you know, newer guys in that lineup per se. Brian De La Cruz, Connor Joe, Cabrian Hayes, Joey Bart, Triolo, zero ISO power numbers against. So if we're just looking from a, I have the better pitcher on the mound by a wide margin, Houston, and the better hitters at the dish today, the Houston Astros should win going away against the Pittsburgh Pirates today.
Let's go under the arch in St. Louis. It's the Rangers and the Cardinals. Some more day baseball in a dead even pick'em. Minus 108 on both sides. The over-under is 9. The Rangers took the first game of the set. St. Louis got to Max Scherzer and Texas yesterday. Who takes game number 3 on this Wednesday afternoon?
Yeah, it looks like we have the starter listed here for St. Louis. I believe it's McGreevy. Don't have much numbers on him that could be listed. So if we focus on the Texas Rangers side of it, Andrew Heaney will be up there. Here's the interesting part about Heaney. Struggles against left-handed batters. He's a lefty, but here's the issue that we're going to take place. How many right-handed batters are going to be in the lineup for the St. Louis Cardinals? Looks like Wynn, Contreras, Pham, Arenado, Goldschmidt, the first 5 batters all righties, but then you actually have 3 of the final 4 batters in that lineup lefties, which typically you'd want as many right-handed batters as you can, but not necessarily against Andrew Heaney. So Donovan, Nootbaar, and Ciani will be in that lineup, but they haven't had a lot of success against left-handed pitching. It's a tough one to give my opinion on. Also, I think the odds makers, Ben, based on some of these numbers, they're having a tough time. This is a true coin flip at this point between Texas and St. Louis.
The 24-year-old Mitch McGreevy, who turned 24 earlier this month, the Cardinals' first-round draft pick from 2021. He was taken 18th overall a few summers ago. According to a report that I just read, his prospect stock has fallen a little bit, but still making his Major League Baseball debut today with some day baseball in St. Louis. High-scoring games so far this week in Boston between the Red Sox and the Mariners. A little bit later in the afternoon, but still afternoon baseball. Seattle, the road favorite at minus 116. The total 9.5. 21 total runs. The Red Sox winning 14-7 on Monday. 16 total combined runs yesterday. Seattle taking game 2, 10-6. Does the offense continue in this Boston battle?
I mean, George Kirby, 1.88 ERA over the past 60 days. That should tell you the tale here. His analytical numbers fantastic as well. Take a look at some of these others. 123 batters he's faced over the past month. ISO power number, 043. Weighted on base percentage, 245. Now, something has to give here. I just told you how good Kirby's been against anybody he's facing. But the one thing that we do know that the Boston Red Sox love to hit, that's right-handed pitching. Duran, Abreu, Yoshida, Devers, O'Neill, Smith, all sky-high ISO power numbers and weighted on base percentages here. But here now we're taking a look at Seattle. So many times we line up that roster 1 through 9 in the past couple weeks. Like, you know what? I don't care who the pitcher is. They can't hit. The better pitcher by far on the mound today is with the Mariners. Bello is going to be on the mound for the Red Sox, a right-handed pitcher. Average stats over the past 30 days. But take a look at this now. Randy Rosarena, 182 ISO power number. Cal Raleigh, 210. Polanco, 216. Moore, 176. Vossler, 176. Haniger, 292. You're actually getting decent lineups now with the addition of some more power bats in that lineup. I'm going to go ahead and take the Mariners again, day number two, against the Boston Red Sox.
DRS, from the analytical perspective, almost feels like a light price for Seattle today with the better pitcher on the bump, even on the road. The Red Sox struggling since returning from the All-Star break, just 3-8. But the word struggle has a different definition for the White Sox. They have lost 16 consecutive games, trying to avoid a sweep at home today against the Royals. Doesn't seem as though the odds makers expect that to be the case. KCA minus 196 favorite with Brady Singer on the bump. Will it be 17 L's in a row for the White Sox today?
There was once a game called Mortal Kombat that I used to play. And at the end of the game, if you did well, it was fatality. And that's what's probably going to get today from the Chicago White Sox. A bad pitcher and a worse lineup. Forget about even the Kansas City Royals. Who's on the mound today? Don't worry. Who's going to be hitting for the Royals? Don't worry. This is a bad baseball team as you're going to find that's going to take place out there. Basically a $2 dog at home. Ridiculous, man. Chicago White Sox, bad baseball team. Can't bet them.
There's a new market on FanDuel called Chicago's Next Win. The White Sox Next Win. A ton of plus money if you have the cojones. DRS, we'll talk tomorrow. Enjoy the money line. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here, rounding out this Wednesday and our 3 hours together on the early line. College football season is right around the corner. Fall camp has started in many of your favorite programs around the country this week. That includes Big Ten schools all around the conference. And the reigning national champs, the Michigan Wolverines, a little bit under the microscope this week. It has been reported by many that Michigan is expected to see what its punishment and discipline is from the NCAA revolving the sign-stealing scandal last season in Ann Arbor, with Connor Stallions at the forefront of it at a point this week. It has been speculated and rumored it could be a season or a multi-season postseason ban, more than likely starting for the 2025 college football campaign. Again, nothing has officially been handed down at this point. But as we await what the NCAA's judgment and ruling will be, this was an interesting note yesterday. Football Scoop, doing a great job covering all things CFB, had a report that came out yesterday that pretty much said this. Sources telling Football Scoop that Central Michigan and its head coach, Jim McElwain, will make significant staff changes just weeks before their season opener. Might be thinking, Ben, what does Central Michigan have to do with anything that's happening right now with the Michigan Wolverines or Connor Stallions? Well, of course, if you followed this story in the saga all last year in CFB, you know that an individual that looked a lot like Connor Stallions in a disguise, wearing CMU gear with a goatee and sunglasses on the sideline for the Chippewas opener against Big Ten rival and in-state foe for the Michigan Wolverines, Michigan State, was spotted on the sidelines. CMU has undergone an internal investigation now for nearly 12 months that has come out with nothing about who this unnamed individual was, how he gained access to the sidelines. So could the CMU staff changes have anything to do with Connor Stallions and the potential discipline about to be handed down by the NCAA? ESPN's Adam Rittenberg sharing this yesterday following the report from Football Scoop. Central Michigan AD Amy Follin has released a short statement to ESPN in response to the Football Scoop report. Quote, Central Michigan does not comment on ongoing personnel matters. The NCAA investigation is still ongoing. We will continue to cooperate and look forward to a resolution. Ah, the gears of justice in collegiate athletics grind to a slower halt than that of molasses on a cold day. It is very clear with these two eyes and anybody's eyes that the unnamed staffer was Connor Stallions. Why it has taken so long to confirm or report it, who knows? Again, it's what happens in college sports. But in the Football Scoop report, there was an interesting nugget. Again, this is all reporting based on sources. But one of the expected changes in the Central Michigan coaching staff is Jake Costner being relieved of his duties. He's been acting as the quarterback's coach for CMU and Jim McElwain the past few seasons. Costner is a native of Grand Haven, Michigan, with deep ties in the state and worked 4 years under former Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh as a student assistant in the Wolverines football program, which, of course, is where Connor Stallions got his start. Could that be the potential leak? The quarterback coach at CMU, who loves the maize and blue, helping out his old pal Connor Stallions getting on the sideline. Of course, I laugh because it is just the most ridiculous college football story you will ever hear. It is why we romanticize this silly and unique sport, but it does have some significance and should bring about severe discipline from the NCAA. And of course, Connor Stallions back in the limelight with the Untold series releasing a documentary called Sign Stealer later in August, August 27th to be exact, just a few days before week one in college football fully gets underway. Now, as for Michigan, Jim Harbaugh is no longer there. Sharon Moore is the head coach who would have to take on any of the punishment that is handed down to the Michigan football program. As for the Wolverines, for the reigning national champs, a win total this year of 8.5. The over has the hefty juice at minus 172. Will the Maize and Blue be back in a college football playoff? Potentially. 9th best price to get that done, or 10th best price, rather, at plus 130. Will they win a Big Ten title for a 4th consecutive season? I say no. We'll be back on a Thursday, 8 a.m. Eastern time, here on the Early Line on Sports. Talk to you tomorrow.